seconds, let Rebbe talk about that. Because it's the sport committee that is facilitating that, therefore we should have a thorough discussion about how do you want to approach it. And no, morning, what's the general's office morning, Musa morning, very much. And thank you for coming. And I think members also thank you for that. We used to meet at 10. In general, this committee meet at 10. When you call a meeting at 9 sometimes because of other meetings, you know that some members are serving in more than one committee. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to come inside, must tender their apology in another committee. And then because we meet at 10, generally we allow that space for some members to go and meet in other areas and come back for this committee. But thank you very much for coming. And I think we should then allow you to take us through briefing. We also informed that you may also leave at 9:45 to brief defense committee. We'll allow that to happen. But those who remain would continue then having a real engagement about the state of the affairs of our department that we will do oversight on. Of course, it's not our department. And then the parliamentary committee is executive-driven department. We are just a policy-making and law-making structure, generally. Therefore, the separation of power, we always try our level best to ensure that it's reinforced from time to time, to ensure that we don't see ourselves also as people who are defending department when we are not, in fact, supposed to do so. Ours to ensure that the department performs according to what we have agreed in Parliament when you allocate funds to them. Because you are members of Parliament who give them the money, therefore they must come and account. I think we are assisting us really to do a very efficient and effective oversight function over this department. And thank you very much for that. You can take us through and morning members and then most welcome. I think the whip we're still thinking about the sharks.
No, sir.
And the cheetahs.
The SMS is wonderful, sir. And yesterday when I opened it, it says 10 and 12, then I think that's it. I don't understand that.
No. We understand that. Okay. Thank you very much, Musa. You can take the floor.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Musa Hlongwa. Maybe I can start by introducing my team. On my right-hand side, I've got Aubrey Adendorf, who is the senior manager responsible for sports and recreation, and also its entities. On his right, I've got June Williams, who comes from our Cape Town office here, and they do for us drug-free sport that is safe, which is also being reported on in our document. And then on her right, I've got Jan Steenkamp, who is the senior manager for the defense department. Myself and Jan will have to leave at about 2:15 to attend the other meeting for the defense. And Avi and June Williams will remain here to entertain any further discussions on the sports and recreation department. The main aim of our briefing is to discuss or to present the audit outcomes for the year 11-12 for the three entities, that is the Department of Sports and Recreation, the Drug-Free Sport, and also Boxing SA. I might just start by saying that the Department and also Drug-Free Sport have got unqualified audit reports with other matters or with other findings. Other findings will relate to compliance, for example, with laws and regulations, and also with the presentation of performance information, that is the predetermined objectives. The other entity, that is Boxing SA, has a qualified audit opinion. So of the three entities, one is qualified, the others are not qualified but have got other findings. So nine of the three entities has got a clean audit report. A clean audit report is where there are no qualifications and there are also no other findings in other areas. I'll just ask Abby Attendorf now to take us through the details, of the findings.
Thank you, Musha. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I think the whole purpose of today's session, and I think it is the first for us, and maybe not the first for the Portfolio Committee on Sport, but I think the whole purpose of this briefing session today is to give an insight by the Auditor General into the issues resulting in the unqualified opinion and the qualified opinion of boxing and the unqualified opinion of track free sport. Maybe you know this, but just to update the members and those that are interested, is maybe just to give you the position of Department of Sport. They are 210 positions, of which 36 are vacant. Boxing got the establishment of 10, and SAGE got the establishment of 11. Just to put that in perspective, what is the sizes of these entities? And then the Department of Sport got a budget of 820 million, and the other two got, Boxing got a budget of 10 million, and SAGE got a budget of 11 million. I think that is in short where we can start off. If we can then go to the audit opinion history. We actually look at the history for the past, the current year and the past 3 years, and it shows that the Department of Sport and Recreation was unqualified. And for the past 2 years, boxing was qualified, and SAGE also got the unqualified opinion. They still are not there yet, as we call it, clean audits, where an entity can get no findings on predetermined objectives and compliance issues. But I think that is the goal where all the departments and all the entities that the Auditor General are auditing is working towards. If we go to the next slide, the key focus areas, I think this is actually a summary of our dashboard reports that we're also using to discuss with the entities. I'm now on page 3. And this actually works like a robot. It's got red lights, yellow lights, and green lights. But as you can see, this one for sport, boxing, and drug-free sport, they haven't got any green lights. And I think that is where we must actually stand still a bit and talk about those different areas. If we look at the Department of Sport, we say there was an improvement on supply chain management, so they were going forward, but there was a regression in predetermined objectives, HR management, and IT controls. There were some serious stuff in the financial statements. The statement that was presented to us got some errors in it, and also if you look at the financial health, there was material creditors not paid. If you look at boxing, HR management, there's no improvement, but all the other blocks are red, which is a major concern for the auditors. And then also if you look at the SAGE, the Institute for Drug-Free Sport, they've got 4 red faces and 2 yellow ones. No improvement on supply chain management, predetermined objectives, no improvement. HR management, there's some improvement. IT controls, some improvement, but can be better. And then material errors in the financial statements and the financial health. If we then go to supply chain management, and I'm talking every time the department first and then the two entities. If you look at contractual obligations and money owed by the department were not always settled within 30 days or in an agreed period, that then the department has to pay interest. And we say the root cause of that is a lack of understanding of supply chain management laws and regulations, resulting in misinterpretation of the applicable legislation. And our recommendation on that was adequate implementation of supply chain management laws and regulations to ensure that policies and procedures ensure compliance. I think at the end of the day, it is important that the departments and their staff know that they must, the rules and regulations and tender regulations and treasury regulations and the PFMA is there to regulate departments and provincial departments and public entities and municipal entities. And it doesn't matter how big the department or the entity or is, they must comply to the rules and regulations. That is why National Treasury have put in there, so that everybody is playing from the same playground. Also, at the Department of Sport, the accounting officer does not take effective steps to prevent irregular as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure as required by Section 38(1)(c)(2) of the PFMA and Treasury Regulation. I must say yet, in the past year, as you know, the Department of Sport got a new Director General, Mr. Alec Mahemi, but I think under his new reins it will improve. As we pick it up during the audit, that there is definitely an improvement after he became the DG of sport. On the next page, there is some cases where sufficient appropriate audit evidence could not be obtained for goods and services with a transaction value between 10 and 500,000, as they haven't invited three quotations, and that is not only a problem still at sport, but also at major departments, and it's also a problem with boxing and sales. That because of the size of boxing and the size of sales, they feel they don't have to abide to these rules and regulations, and at the end of the day we say, sorry, we are auditing against the rules and regulations, and if you do not comply with it, we have to report on that. I think there you can see for yourself, at boxing, the accounting authority did not take effective, appropriate disciplinary steps. I think here at boxing, also the problem was, for a portion of the year, there was no CEO. The CEO has only been appointed in the past financial year, so after he is now there, I'm getting the idea that he's trying his utter best to improve on the situation at boxing, but he's only one person. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of work to be done at boxing. For sites, the accounting officer did not take effective steps to prevent irregular expenditure. Goods and services with a transaction value of below 500,000 were procured, and goods and services with a transaction were above 500,000 were without inviting competitive bids. I think it's also that they think they are small, they don't have to comply to these rules and regulations, and I think that this management should ensure that the supply chain management policies and procedures are in line with the laws and regulations. And if they do, adequate planning should be enforced by the management to ensure compliance in supply chain management. Then the accounting office authority made awards to suppliers who failed to provide written proof of the SARS, their income tax certificates. I think that this is some of the regulations that Treasury and SARS have put in place to prevent fraudulent transactions. And if the department and the public entities do not comply to these, I think it just makes it easier for fraudulent transactions to take place. Then if we can go to predetermined objectives in paragraph 3.2, I must emphasize that the following findings, although that it is a lot, It doesn't influence the audit opinion of the Auditor General on the financial statements. But I think if you look at service delivery, this is very important, and I think at the end of the day, this is where the presidency and the cabinet like to measure service delivery of all departments and entities at the end of the day. And if the people are struggling to understand or to read the National Treasury Framework for Managing Program Performance, they will have to pull up their socks, because this report shows our findings that they are not there yet. And it doesn't go only for boxing and sites, it's also for the department, where we say reliability of information, reported performance is not valid, and we say there what is the finding. The next one, the reported performance is not accurate. When we audit these quarterly reports, because they are supposed to give in four reports every quarter to Treasury and the Presidency, and the end of the year, they combine these four reports to make up the annual report. If we compare it to the audit evidence, they do not talk to each other. Achievement of planned targets for sport. Of the total number of planned targets, only 45% were achieved during the year under review. This presents 55% of the total planned targets that were not achieved during the year under review. This was mainly due to the fact that indicators and targets were not suitably developed during the strategic planning process. And I think this is where the portfolio committee must take note of, because they get the budget, and they get the budget according to the strategic plan, and they say, this is our plan for the future, but if they don't even get 55% of the planned targets, then either they shoot too high, or they must look at the targets and put realistic targets on the table to say, this is what we can do with the money provided for us. The next one, boxing, usefulness of information. Reported targets not consistent with the planned targets. I think that, and at boxing, I will make the assumption, and I think my assumption is quite closely to be accurate. This is mainly due to the lack of a CEO in the beginning of the year. There was no leadership, and the staff that were there, they were trying to keep the boat in the right direction, but I don't know if they had the capabilities of doing it. After the CEO joined them, he couldn't have changed a lot of the strategic plan, because it was already two quarters in the financial year. But that is what we say. The information of their strategic plan and their measurement against it, it is not useful. Action plans are inadequate or not implemented correctly to address the prior year matters reported. Management also did not understand the FMPPI regarding the link of the strategic plan. And that is the guidelines from the National Treasury, how they must put the strategic plan into place. The lack of understanding of the plan resulting in incorrect application or interpretation. There was also a lack of key controls in the relevant systems of collation, verification, and storage of actual performance information, and so you can go on. Performance indicators not well defined. The Treasury framework requires that indicators measures should have clear data definitions so that data is collected consistently and is easy to understand. And at this stage, it is not easy to understand, it's not easy to measure. The next one, indicators is not verifiable. Performance targets is not time-bound. So they've got this pie-in-the-sky plan or strategic goals, but they haven't got, it is not time-bound and target-based, you see. Performance targets is not measurable. Performance targets is not specific. When you get to the reliability of information, the reported performance is not valid. or in reported performance is not accurate. And at the end of the day, achievement of planned targets, there I can just highlight, of the total number of planned targets, only 40% were achieved during the year under review. This represents 60% of the total planned targets that were not achieved during the year under review. And if you as a portfolio committee must make a recommendation about their budget for the future, I think this is some of the things that you must maybe mention, that they will have to look at this. Then if we go over to SAIDS, the SA Institute for Drug Free Sport, usefulness of their information, they are also not there, a total of 100% of major variances between planned and actual achievements. This was due to a lack of documented and approved internal policies and procedures to address reported processes and events pertaining to performance management and reporting. Now, I think I've got sympathy with them, because Institute for Drug Free Sport, I don't think it's so easy to put targets and measurements and strategic goals in your strategic plan going forward, but they are there and they will have to do it. Consistency, reported targets not consistent with their planned targets. And that is the two major hiccups that we've got with the Institute for Drug Free Sport. Under human resources, and there was only one finding, the human resource plan was not in place as required in the public service regulation. I think this was also due to the fact that there was a vacancy of the DG at that time. The plan is now with the DPSA, and I think at this stage it's already been approved. Then another serious concern for us is information technology controls 3.4, especially in the current days where there are professional hackers that are, it's their jobs to go into people's bank details and go into departments' bank details and to make fictitious transactions, and this is quite a serious finding. No IT security policy, controls not adequately designed, inadequate user account management, no formal IT strategic plan, and no formal updated disaster recovery plan. And I think that this is very serious. We say a lack of clear policy regarding new users and maintenance of user IDs, whether people are still using each other's ID numbers to go into transactions and to review or whatever, and failure by the management to address prior year findings in the action plan. I think that is quite a concern. And then also for boxing. At boxing, I've got sympathy for them, because they are an entity of about 9 or 11 members. Mm-hmm. To have a segregation of duties and all those, it is quite difficult, but they are a Schedule 3A public entity, and if they are registered under an act, they must produce. No IT security policy controls. Sport committed themselves this year to help boxing, and they have already started to do that. But I think they've got a long way to go. Inadequate user account management, no formal IT strategic plan, no formal updated disaster recovery plan. And that is a very big concern, but we also take note that it is a very difficult for a small entity to introduce all those control measures. Then if we go to paragraph 3.5, material errors or omissions in the annual financial statements. For the Department of Sport, there was sections in the financial statements that were not corrected, or the financial statement was not 100%, but it was not that serious. Inadequate preparation of financial statements by management and lack of monthly reconciliations. Process resulted in adjustments to the annual financial statements. lack of adequate review of the financial statements by those charged with governance, including the audit committee. I think this, for the coming year, this will also be in a better situation because all the posts are now filled at Sport. The CFO is there, internal audit is up and running, the audit committee is up and running, and also with the new DG that is pulling the department by the reins, this will improve. Then for boxing, they've got a major problem at boxing because they've got now a CEO, but he's not financial accountant. The post of CFO is still vacant. They are now busy advertising it. They've got a financial consultant that are helping them, but we had major challenges with the person to, when we're giving corrections on the financial statements, that when we get it back, then she made the corrections, but then there are other places where there's other faults that she mistakenly uncorrected. And then at the Institute of Drug-Free Sport, I think June also had the same problem, that the financial statements that was presented on 30th of May was not 100% correct, and they also had their challenges that there was several changes had to be made on the financial statement. Then paragraph 3.6, this is a new heading that we've got now in our management report and also that we are reporting on, to say if we look at the financial health of the department and the institute, or the institute and boxing, there are some concerns for the Department of Sport. Creditors' payments were made on average of 56 days, which is above the norm of 30 days, which then makes that they had to pay interest. Lack of oversight by management in payment of creditors, and I think they will just have to update the people's individual performance contracts, that those people that are working for those type of transactions, that they must include it in their performance contracts, that they must make sure that these creditors are paid in 30 days. The same for boxing, they paying their creditors on an average of 69 days, but I think mainly that is due to the lack of funding. We as Auditor General were some of the creditors that were paid late, and that was only after Sport gave them an extra advance of 5 million rand so they could pay the audit fees and some of the other outstanding creditors. But it is a going concern problem for us. And at the end of the day, Boxing South Africa should request additional funding as well as implement controls. If boxing must perform according to a strategic plan, their strategic plan must be cost against a budget. And if they want to do all these controls and execute all these controls, they must get more money. Because at this stage, we feel that boxing is underfunded, and that is why they're sitting with the problem. Another thing is the challenge that the income that they're getting from the promoters after boxing fights, and we've tried to help them that they can actually use the Boxing Act to help them, that they will not give out a license for the next fight if the promoters haven't paid their fees for the previous fight. And I think it is in their mandate to use the Boxing Act and also issue rules and regulations to say this is the rules and regulations, how we are going to play now forward. You either abide by it or you not get a license for the next boxing fight. Then at sites, creditors' payments were made on average of 61 days, which is above the norm of 30 days. I think it's also a lack of funding. And SAIDS is a net liability position, and this is a going concern problem. Also, if you look at how much they must pay, what is the income, what is their budget that they get for the year, it is a problem. Other compliance matters, I think this is also if you look at budget, strategic plan, performance against predetermined objectives, the Department of Sport did not ensure that the department had and maintained an effective, efficient, transparent system of internal control regarding performance management, which describe and present how the department's processes of performance planning, monitoring and measurement must be done. I think this was also addressed by the new DG. He presented the new strategic plan to the Portfolio Committee and to Parliament, and it was approved, I think, in January this year. So I think going forward this will be better. Then another challenge for them is the transfer of funds and the conditional grants to the provinces. I think here they've got the challenge that grants is transferred to the provincial departments or to the municipalities to execute sports parks and other things, but at the end of the day the municipalities are using these funds that they're getting from sports to use in other divisions of their budget. And it's difficult for us as the auditors of the national department to pinpoint that, but I think we've discussed it with the national department, and they are going to do more provincial visits to the places where they do these transfers of funds to see. We've transferred 1 million rand to this province. What have they done with that money? Was it used for sport facilities or whatever? Then the same story at boxing again. The strategic plan, the accounting authority did not submit the proposed strategic plan for the approval by the executive authority at least 6 months before the start of the financial year. I think this will also be addressed because the new chairperson of the Accounting Authority of Boxing, Mr. Nkondo Balfour, is very positive, and we had a very good relationship with him and his board, the new board and his appointment, and he gave his commitment that he will really see to it that these things are getting off the ground and going forward. They got the challenge, they haven't appointed the audit committee yet, because of a lack of staff and also mainly due to the lack of funds. They haven't got an internal audit committee or internal audit section. Their revenue management, the accounting does not take effective provision steps to timely collect all money, but I think that we've also given them some recommendations how they can do that going forward. And then also on the asset management, they will look at managing their small bit of assets in a much better way. Then commitments by the executive. We had a meeting with the Minister of Sport last year where he committed himself to see to it that these department public entities are following up on their key controls and commitments. There was no unauthorized expenditure for the portfolio. There was, however, irregular expenditure, but mainly due to boxing and the institute not abiding to the laws and regulations that Treasury is there. And their argument is that they are small. They cannot get three quotations and those things. So I don't know. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there was a decrease for the department and also for boxing. There was nothing for sites, but I think the thing that stands out is sites. Maybe my colleague June can maybe just give us an indication on that 3.3 million that is there for irregular expenditure. Just a brief background on it, June.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, just to highlight the problems with the supply chain at South African Institute of Drug Free Sport. Basically, they, as Arvi has just indicated, in the same way as boxing, they feel that they're too small to have to comply to regulations, that the regulations are too onerous for a really small entity. The issue relates to them having these deviations, for example, not obtaining free quotes or not going via the tender processes. Now, there are reasons why they may not get three quotes or they may not go through the tender processes. For example, there may be only one supplier, or there may be a reason why they can only deal with that particular supplier. In the case of South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport, they purchase a number of their items from various specialized organizations to do with drug testing. Obviously, there are only certain suppliers that can supply that information. Now, all of that is quite acceptable, but it needs to be properly documented. If you look at the regulations say if you deviate, you need to have an explanation why you deviate, and that needs to be signed off and dated. Now, they don't do that second step, and so that's where the problem has come about. It's not really that... In a lot of cases, they don't have those explanations. They do have the explanations. They can tell you verbally what the explanation is, but they are not following the regulations. And that's why they've landed up with not getting non-compliances for not following the regulations. Thanks, Aubrey.
Thank you, Jim. I think I'm finished with the presentation on the first document. I don't know if there is any questions on this document. Before I go to the other document, the other document is actually just a summary of this, and actually it gives you on the different headings where the three entities have improved or regressed or whatever, but it's actually just a summary of my presentation at this stage.
Maybe we should allow members to pose questions on your first presentation. And then after that, then we'll go for the second one in the summarized way. And I think that would be very useful for us to do so. Honorable member, if you do want to pose questions, I think we must do that on the first document. Honorable De Hasse, Honorable McCain. Okay.
Mine is just what the lady has raised, that the deviation. Now, this was just explained to say that when you deviate, you don't need to come and convince us verbally, but it must be documented so that it can cover their backs. And what is their response? And in all these irregularities which have been pointed out, which one can pick up in a lot of these things, that I am sure that there are times when there's an engagement between you and these entities, and you also raise that, look, you must improve on this so that you can get a clean thing. Is there any improvement on after the engagement by yourself and the department and the entities? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chief. I think with the Department of Sport and Boxing, there is definitely an improvement, and they're trying to, as they're going on, while we are doing the audit, and they are now already in the next 6 months of the new financial year. With the queries that we're giving them on the old year, they do implement controls going forward. So I think there is an improvement. I cannot speak for SAITS, and I think June can maybe answer on that.
In terms of SAIDS, unfortunately, these issues were found last year already. So this is the second year that we've reported on the non-documentation correctly of various deviations. I think it's a case of them feeling they just cannot do it. It's not possible. So what we did do is we had an engagement with them, and we did discuss with them ways that they can simplify the process so that they don't have to write it every time. There are a number of these entities that they interact with that, in fact, they interact with regularly because they purchase from them regularly. And so we suggested they got a list, and they actually have the deviation written up on that list, and they refer to the list. So that kind of thing is there, and they have put in place that process, as well as them extending the list, which they did towards the end of last year. But unfortunately, it was about the 13th of March, So it was almost out of the financial year. So going forward, you should find that these the deviation problems will be less.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks very much for the presentation. You know, without going into too much detail, just three things that I think are pretty worrying. The first thing on the IT issue, there seems to be a problem with all three entities. And apart from the security issues and everything else, it's the abuse of IT equipment. I mean, how many staff members, for example, are playing games, gambling, whatever. I mean, there seems to be no control. And if there are no controls, people can be doing what they like. So in terms of performance, you know, I think other than the reasons you've mentioned, yeah, I mean, in terms of personnel performance, that needs to be looked at very, very carefully, because I think there's a cost factor in terms of performance there. The second issue is the issue of supplier payments. And I see that your terms, in terms of the Act are 30 days, but is that 30 days from delivery and invoice or 30 days from statement? Because in all three departments, it looks like it's between 57 and 62 days, which might suggest that they're paying 30 days from statement, but I don't know. So I think you need to look at that. And the other thing which is very, very worrying in terms of governance issues and everything else is the fact that there seems to be a deficit budget for SAID and boxing. You've got, in terms of governance today, it's impossible. We can't do it. And I agree with you. There needs to be more funds for boxing, and I think we, as a portfolio committee, strongly recommended that there should be. And we supported that idea. But, you know, it's disturbing that every year we have the same issues. There's been a lack of governance because we haven't had the personnel. But you cannot, in any organization, run a deficit budget. Otherwise, those officers, you know, could be headed up for criminal activities. You can't train like that in any sector. Thank you.
Mr. Lee.
Chairperson, first of all, apologies for being late. But I received three notices, three venues, and I thought I'm early for the meeting, Chairperson, just to find out that I'm late. No, I don't think I don't know whether I should apologize, Chairperson.
We'll give you opportunity because the judge came in.
Yeah.
If you need time,
No, I've got
what you want to say.
I've got a question, Chairperson. I've got a question, Chairperson.
Okay,
Now, first of all, a statement, Chairperson. You know my feelings towards boxing South Africa. As far as I'm concerned, it should be scrapped. The state shouldn't be supporting any. Yeah, we must support it, but we can't sort of run any sporting organization in South Africa. That is my view. Then the question, Chairperson. You know, I think we doubled, or we gave them quite a bit more money. That is now SAID. And the lady spoke about SAID. And you say that there are sort of problems now. In the past, and the reason why did we support them, because they ran their organization very, very well. But it seems that if it is a sort of, they don't have the staff to run this institution, Chairperson. And therefore, I didn't look at your recommendations, and if you do have, I think what we perhaps should do is to recommend that they increase their staff complement. So as to again run, because we are very, very proud of that institution, and it's doing a great job, and it's a very, very important job. So we really should really look at making it possible for them to run their programs more effectively and have more control over the programs, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I also got my own personal views on boxing, but I don't know if it will go off with the Minister of Sport and the DG, because my suggestion is, as I took over boxing and I
read through the annual reports of the past and looking at their strategic plan going forward. I cannot see why they cannot incorporate the boxing into as a chief directorate of sport. And then they don't need a CEO. They can make the CEO the chief director of boxing in sport, and they can run all their HR and all their financial transactions through the financial division of sport. And I really don't know. But now they've got an act. They are instituted by an act. That is my own personal view. I don't know if my Auditor General will agree with me, but that is how I see going for boxing going forward. Because then they've got the department behind them. They've got the minister directly with them. And they've got much more
control
over it. For sites, maybe they can also be a part of another chief directorate under the Department of Sport, and also going forward. And I'm a bit concerned, and I just want to read you an extraction, and I don't know if you received the annual report of SAIDS, because I take it that it was already been tabled.
Yes.
And I was quite surprised and a bit shocked as I read through the report of the audit committee and signed by advocate DJ Mitchell, and he's also a CA, and he starts off with on the topic of irregular expenditure. As audit committee, we are struggling to understand the practical implication of National Treasury supply chain management prescripts in the context of a small, close-knit regulatory entity such as SAITS. We also do not understand the manner in which the Office of the Auditor General seeks to interpret these manifold regulations and practice notes. And then he goes on. So I do not appreciate these report and that from an audit committee, so I think that was a bit outrageous, but maybe you can handle that with him at the later stage. But also sites not having the staff to run it, that is a problem. They are on the table, they schedule 3A public entities, but they're sitting with staff of 9 people and 11 people. You can't run an organization that must comply to all these financial controls and regulations as it must be. And that is why my suggestion, why can't the government or the portfolio committee and SCOPA look at it to see if it is really a going concern for us as auditors. At the end of the day, such small public entities, do they really have grounds to be there?
If I can just comment, I think the only comments that we've had in terms of SAIDS, other than the problems that my colleague has just raised in terms of the audit committee, is the issues around the budgets of SAIDS. And yes, obviously the budget is very small for SAIDS. And I think what is the issue is if you look at SAIDS, you will see that, yes, they did spend more than they actually had received in the year. But I think this is a rolling issue because you must remember these entities are on graphs. They are not in terms of the same framework as the departments. So they can actually spend beyond what they actually have in cash because it goes into creditors and it waits to be spent. And what happens with SAIDS particularly, and it's something that I've noticed, in fact I had a big smile when my colleague said that the Auditor General was one of their creditors in his boxing South Africa. We have the same issue with SAIDS. And they actually, basically, you will find that there will be a number of entities and a number of outside institutions that still need to be paid by SAIDS at the end of March. And those will go into creditors, and you will find that they have a large creditors number. Now, that creditors number will remain like that for a large period of time until their funding comes through from the Department of Sport and Recreation. So those entities will not be paid, obviously, within 30 days. In fact, they may not even be paid within 60 days. And so you may find that at the beginning of the year, they already have pushed that creditors' days beyond where it should be. And that's part of the reason why you land up with the 61 days. And in terms of the 61 days, we are very adamant that we measure from the day that they receive the invoice, and so we measure from the day they stamp the invoice. So I know from my perspective it's from date of receipt. But at the same time, it still is happening, and it's largely because of that beginning of the period.
Maybe, Chairperson, just to add, and because of those audit fees that are not being paid in 30 days, there is interest that accumulated on it every month, and that's part of the irregular expenditure.
No, that's fine. Seems members now, they understand the problem. And we created it ourselves anyway. And then it's our own creation. We passed an act, and we do have the structure, but it seems you are almost proposing that the committee must relook at this thing, you know. Otherwise, there will be structures there or organs there who never have resources there to do anything in terms of governance structure. And therefore, we are setting them up, really, generally. And there will be difficulty. Auditors general will always come, and they must comply accordingly. There will be no exception. But at the same time, ourselves, we know very well that there's no resources for them to do anything. I think we are moving a point that maybe we should consider making some proposal. Of course, there's an act there. We must look at all the procedures and processes and ensuring that this thing works. Because we must set up structures that work, so we don't set up at all. Because if you're a chairperson of the board, you've got an organization that you think it should work, but at the same time, no resources to make it work. It's very frustrating, I guess. Member Balfour must be very frustrated on this matter. But we'll look at it as a committee, and we discuss it, the policy issues, and we see what else we can do to assist them. But just despite that, though, what is your final conclusion? And as the Auditor General, do you think we are moving, we are progressing, or we are regressing? What is your final conclusion? And then, given all the problems that we have already highlighted, do you think that we are moving forward, or we are regressing in general? There's no progress, general, in terms of governance, in terms of leadership, in terms of compliance. What is your final conclusion on this matter? Given all the evidence that we've raised, anyway. We are very sympathetic to them in terms of resources. So, the committee also is more sympathetic. But also we bear in mind that the department itself is a very small department. By its very nature, it's a very small department. And then I think also they're overstretched in terms of resources. And it's a very small department itself. And it is a really challenge that we have as members to have a real discussion on that. Because if sport is becoming the very important area of work for governance and all this that we are doing, I don't think we should be allowing it to work this way. But what is your final conclusion, really? Do you want to leave us much more optimistic about the future of our department? Or you think things really are a little bit falling apart? Or we are picking up, but given the resources that are available?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Can I take you to my second document that I handed out? And I would like you to go to this page. They haven't got page numbers, but it's one of the blocks. The starts with this small box, block, and it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 pages on it. I've got another one or two presentations here for that one. Yeah, just page over.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairperson, if you then look at this last one. Now I want the chairperson to be with me.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, that one. If you look at these tables, I think you can see, and as I said earlier when I started, it's like a robot, red, green, and yellow. If you look at the Department of Sport, and we've divided it into the three main categories, leadership, financial and performance management, and governance. If we sum it up for Department of Sport, the leadership, 33% is still in the red, 47% is in progress, and 20% is good in the leadership, so there is place for improvement. If you look at financial and performance management, the green is only 15%. So there's major space for improvement. And the red one is a bit lower, 31%. If you look at corporate governance, and that is where we look at if they got the internal audit, is the audit committee functioning well, is the minister doing his job as oversight body and so on. For the department, we gave them 100%. So, I will say, in if you look at the Department of Sport, they haven't got a qualified opinion. I will say sport is going in the right direction. Okay. If you look at boxing, and boxing of the two entities, they are a bit in the red, as you can see. Leadership, they are 31%, and I think with the appointment of the CEO, this have already been increased. Without him being there, it should have been 100%. But with him there, it's already in progress, 31%. If they are successful in getting a CFO for appointment, it will increase. The same with the financial and performance management. It's not a lot of transactions that is going through at Boston. So you don't need that expensive CFO to come and you need a committed person to come and sit at boxing and help them going forward, because the CFO and the CEO are the main drivers of their strategic plan at the end of the day going forward. If you look at governance, they are not there because of a lack of funding, a lack of staff. They haven't got money to appoint internal audit. They haven't got, at this stage, the board is advertising to get audit committee members being appointed, but they are not there yet. So, boxing, as you can see, is in the red. Doesn't matter how you look at it, they are in the red. If you look at sites, and I think this is also what my colleague June said, and some of the committee members, they are doing a good job. And if you look at their leadership, 28%, 61%, only 11% red. There is space for improvement, but they are going upwards. Financial and performance management, 80% in progress, 13% in green, only 7% in the red. So there's very less red there. If you look at governance, they've got the audit committee, although that we do not agree what the audit committee is saying. But the audit committee is doing their job. Internal audit is doing their job. So I think they are on the right track. So between the three of them, it's only boxing, and that is why boxing also got a qualified opinion. Sage got the unqualified opinion with matters on the predetermined objectives. The same with sport. They are not having clean audit reports, but they are on their way to that. So that is in short our summary, and I think that is what you requested, Mr. Chairperson.
Okay. No, it gives hope, though.
Mr. Lee must be very happy.
Was the red in boxing, no, Chairperson? Was the red boxing?
Okay. Let me check Mr. Lee, my case.
Chairperson, I don't know whether this is relevant, but I think we heard that they are underspending in sport. In fact, there was I don't know whether it was in this year that they are underspending, Chairperson. And I want to know from the AG now whether they are happy with the spending in sport in that department, Chairperson, with the spending patterns in that department, Chairperson.
Mr. McKenzie.
Chair, just an observation. If I look at these blocks that we've just gone through, it appears to me that in neither of the any of the three categories, leadership, the highest rating of leadership there was a 28%. Surely this is an area that we need to focus on to turn this thing around, because that's it's a major problem. The rest is amber and or yellow and red, but I think leadership is a as an obvious problem here, and hopefully, like your comments, whether you think that under boxing that might change now.
Honourable the House.
Yeah, Chair, I just want to come in on the issue of the CFO in boxing. I don't think I want to agree with you that they must just get a person who's committed. We must get a person who's qualified who'll do the job. Because previously, boxing had a young lady from Limpopo, if I can remember, who was and he was really battling when it comes to engagement. And you won't get a person. If we say that this person must just accept peanuts, then the result is also going to be peanuts. So we must get the best person. If we say we want to get boxing out of this mess, then we must then say that, look, employ this person. Because not a qualified person will go for peanuts. Then. And that's why they were begging also to the CEO.
Okay, Rabutab, you want to pose a question?
You want to bring in the speech?
Okay, now that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. On the CFO, I had to talk with the chairperson of the board. And I know who applied for the CFO position, and I phoned the chairperson. I said, well, they must be very careful when they're doing the interviews and the screening of the CFO position, because it must be a qualified person. And I actually made the phone call. Maybe I was not mandated to do it, but I phoned the chairperson. I said, well, I had a concern, because the one lady that is currently was doing the financial statements the past year was one of the applicants, and she is not qualified to be a CFO. She tries her uttermost best, and she actually came from our office, but she only finished her articles with us. She's not further qualified, and that is why I said to him, well, I cannot, if you appoint her, or if it comes out at the end of the day that you have appointed her as the CFO, then I will really put it up how far that we do not agree with that appointment. It will not be a good appointment. So he was happy that I phoned him and warning that they must look further and look at maybe personnel agencies and see if they can get the right person for the job. Because otherwise that will, the CFO will then not support the CEO at the end of the day. Coming back to the leadership question, I agree with the Honourable Member that it is a major concern. If you look at the spending, actually in my initial briefing document, I had the budget for sport as well, and I can tell the Honourable Member of all the different programs of sport, they actually have done very good for the past year. The spending of the budget for the past 11-12 year was 98.8% that they've spent of their budget. So that is quite a good achievement that they achieved.
Well, I believe, yeah, I agree with that.
I'm happy.
98% spending. Yeah. The impact of that we don't know.
Yeah, that is.
Okay. No, we'll deal with it. Yeah.
Except on this information technology control. Sometime during the time of Honorable Convener, there were some people who made a presentation to this committee. They even took they produced a card of Mr. Suka, who was in part of them. And it tells you exactly, I don't know how do they do it, but we have referred them to the department so we can go and make a presentation there as well. Mm-hmm. And I think the minister, these people need to be followed up because you can't sit in this situation and there are people who can come and do this job for us.
Well, okay, now, if that's far, if that focus department is capable enough to look for people who assist them. Well, members of parliament, we do have our own internal inhibitions, really, that we can't make some active for the department. Otherwise, we'll be lobbied by every person. And that could distort exactly what we are trying to do. And we should just make follow-up on some of the areas, but avoiding to be lobbied ourselves. There are too many organizations who want to lobby members of parliament. We always dismiss them because they shouldn't do that to us. Otherwise, they would distort the relationship between the committee and the executive. Separation should be very clear. I think Mr. Lee, you are happy. 98%. I think the duty of our members really is to just try to assess the impact of the 98% in terms of the real work of a department. That is really what the general have assisted us on some of the issues of compliance, of leadership. But ourselves, we go around doing our oversight function. We should be able to confirm really that this 98% is making life better for people who are receivers of some of these issues. I think an issue that the Auditor General is raising, the conditional grant. Sometimes we give people a conditional grant, but they use it for other purposes. And I think the point that is members of Parliament ourselves, we should be doing that as a house. The WIP must ensure that we do that. The department is here. But also, I think we are at the meeting with the department or the general office. But what is the view of a department? They think that they are progressing or they are pushed by you to do the right thing or themselves voluntarily, they provide the right thing. Because one thing to be pushed because you are scared, and for a person willingly ensuring that every issue is addressed accordingly, not because I'm scared of Auditor General's office, but because it's the right thing to do. How is that issue there?
Mr. Chairperson, I can clearly say that I pick it up, and this was also one of the strategic goals of the new Director General of Sport, that he's bringing into the individual performance contracts of all his staff performance delivery, and they are going to be measured on performance delivery. So if that official is attending a soccer match or a sport engagement over the weekend, is he only attending it, or is he actually working as he's supposed to work as an official of sport to build out the strategic goals and strategic plans of sport? And that is also because the people were claiming overtime and so on, and he stopped that. He said, well, if you're going there, that is your job, to go and attend a soccer match or a rugby match, or to go and see how the schools develop their sports and what are they doing. That is part of your job as a sport official. I'm not going to pay you overtime because that is part of your normal job that you must do. And also the part of our document that I would like to raise is our emerging risk. And this is for the people of SAIDS. The National Treasury Framework for Strategic and Annual Performance Plans is fully effective from the 1st of April 2012. So they are already in over 6 months in the new financial year. So they will have to come to the table and perform according to those strategic guidelines. And if they are not going to perform, Treasury and the presidency is going to hit them on the knuckles. But I think at sport, the commitment from the Director General there is very positive, and he have stopped all normal bonuses, performance bonuses. So you must only you can only get the performance bonus if you have performed. If you haven't performed, then you can't get the bonus.
Yes, fine, Chairperson. You see, the officials are paid to go and watch rugby. You know, you won't even get me there, even if you pay me to go and watch the Springboks. That's how badly they play, Chairperson.
Sometimes that is a
problem of what we are. One who lost to us can never survive. That is why that the Sharks lose one game and McKenzie must resign as a
fellow.
He must resign. He must resign. Okay, you know this is talking a lot. No, I don't want it. That is a cheat card. They give you a hard time. And you can't resign as a fellow of the Sharks because of one. I think Mamelodi Sundowns is in crisis now, and everyone considers to
resign.
No, that is fine with the league. I think they would have general office relatively hate about the performance of the department in terms of compliance and leadership. Of course, you know the question of all things that are there. He has already made some proposals. Like I think we have to not consider that. And we must consider and engage with the department, engage with the professional, engage with the board of the folks in South Africa, also the stage one, have some discussion about some of these issues. Because we have been pushing for money, for even more money, but really the budget itself is not up. The territorial department is very small. And we're told also that they're going to spend a lot of money on sports, food, sports. And Geneva can know the sources where that are made available for them to do what you want them to do. Therefore, the leader should not take decisions, take policies, you are that. You must reconsider some of the things we have. I think process might be in the form. I think one honorable Monday Parker, he comes here, he's going to raise the issue of the budget. He comes tomorrow. And they know that generally if you are here tomorrow, you will enjoy it, because you won't raise them with their problems, their capacity. And you are saying that you must pay a person well, but you can't also pay a person well, they have no resources. They ask you a lot of things. Some of them, they make sense, though, in the rational sense. But some of them are very difficult to understand. I think the committee must look at this thing. We make decisions, we pass policies, therefore we consider this thing right. That's to ensure that we don't set them up late. Every day they come here. Because the general, inside this, there's another point that you wanted to raise.
No, thank you, Chairperson. We finished it.
You can take us two, but you should not. Advising the whole meeting. Yes.
I have one point with regard to SAVE. And it relates to your last question as to what we think the attitude of the actual entity is. And I think the entity thinks that, particularly from SAVE's point of view, and I understand in a way that they are very committed to anti-doping and all of the good things that SAVE does and the actual rationale of the entity. But unfortunately, they see us not even as a necessary evil, but an unnecessary evil. And I really think, you know, the audit is an issue. Us wanting compliance is an issue. Those kind of things. And I think they need to understand that It's not just about doing what they need to do. Unfortunately, there are reporting mechanisms, and those reporting mechanisms need to happen for you and everybody else that needs to know what's happening in those entities and what's happening to their money. And those are the kind of things that I try to speak to them about, and the importance of those issues. But I would really appreciate if we got that a message coming through from the committee as well, that in fact this is an important issue, and it isn't just about doing what's the nice bit and the things that you like to do and the pictures and the cycle races and all of those good things. It's also about the compliance and the laws that apply.
Money that they
yes.
Thank you.
When our members, I think we'll take that, and when they appear before us, we'll have a discussion on some of these issues. Members, are you happy now?
Yeah.
With the presentation?
Yes.
Mr. Lee, you're a little bit delayed. That's why I wanted you more space to talk to the Auditor General's office. But if you are happy now, I'm very happy. Same way, you're fine.
I'm fantastic.
Okay. Mali Shiba, you're fine? Mackenzie, you're fine?
Very good.
And we are doing well. Whip, we are fine?
I have to go and digest it.
Okay.
So
I'm fine. No, thank you very much, really. Thank the Auditor General. But I think members should remain, though. Honorable members, just remain. And then, thank you very much, Shanda, for briefing us. And, members, you can check. That's what we'll do, and Paul will just take us through on some of the areas. We really sincerely apologize for the many speculations there was no intention to mislead the leadership of the committee. And I think we are, the apology is accepted by Hlengwa. Hlengwa, you are happy with the apology?
No, thank you.
Mr. Lee also, I think, is persuaded that was a genuine mistake. There was no intent to cause harm to members of parliament. You are too important, despite the fact that your term is ending in 2 years' time. At the moment, you are still important. At the moment, you are still very important. But 1.5 years from now, you may not be important. And this power is a borrowed power. That is the danger of borrowed power. Because it can disappear the next day. That's why Mackenzie is the president. That power is not borrowed power, it's a permanent power. And a lifetime president of the church. And we may contest you. We may contest you very soon. And but colleagues, we should do that. But one point that I think I wanted just to raise. Is that the department is very small, truly speaking. But it's a very important department in terms of the importance of sport, in terms of social mobilization, social cohesion, and a project of nation building. We think it's a very important area. It seems more and more everyone in South Africa is agreeing now. That saying, well, sport is very important. I know that in Shushuwe there are no grounds. But generally, not a couple. There's no ground. But perhaps there are a lot of ground, which are not, a lot of ground. And then we should, colleagues, continuously persuade the leadership to allow sport to do what it's supposed to do. We have conducted our oversight function. We know very well, generally now, we do have a clear picture. We have not, of course, finalized all the provinces, but I think we got a basic understanding now on the state of sporting facilities in our country. And then it's an issue really that the leadership here must look at it. But also we must really consider the point that was raised by the Auditor General's office about the issue that is raising about these two entities. We must consider them ourselves. We must really apply our mind, General, on this. And take a very rational approach. How do we think it's possible to do it? The last one really is just my appeal that on the 16, our Paralympians are here. 16. At 2 o'clock, it's 1 hour really, 2 to 3.
Next Tuesday.
On the 16th, the Paralympians are here. And then, of course, they will need more facilities because they are Paralympians. But it's a joint sitting, therefore, simply means that members of this committee will participate in the congratulatory remarks. Congratulatory remarks about whoever participates on that. We do bear in mind, though, that female colleagues are on the ANC side only. And since other parties, including the DA, they have not come to a conclusion that females should sit in our committee at the moment. Therefore, ANC carries that responsibility to ensure that also colleagues who are female participate in this debate. Because it can then be a male team that can cause unnecessary problems. But the point that I want us to, because we are congratulating people who have done extremely well. Of course, 30 last time, 29 now in terms of men. But bearing in mind of the circumstances that they are facing as individuals and the challenge, it would be a good idea, though, that we don't go for bigger politics. And they start raising real hard politics because we are going to deal with the department issue, therefore we'll play real politics. would be a good idea, Mr. Lee, when they leave, they should be confident that we appreciated their effort,
yes,
rather than us to end up starting again debating amongst ourselves whether this board is funded well or not funded well, because that will have time to do separately from the issue. I think Rabutabu should really do that, because I think when we're debating them, of course, the congratulator debating congratulation is not usual under the NEFAM. We are congratulating them, thanking them for their participation, raising the flag of our country, singing the national anthem. We are much more doing that. It is not about whether the Department of Sport is small, therefore we must need more money. We'll have time for that, really. We'll have time for that, and then we should really prepare ourselves for that, because we all know now that on the 16th, we are 2-3. We'll do that. I think the whip part of your parties, I think they're working on that already. And then the young men, saying ones, they're here. And then whatever, then debate. I think McCain's is here already. And we'll touch on your experience in terms of how you run your club there. I think it's a very important one. But the point that I'm appealing really is that we should just ensure that we congratulate them and thank them for their participation. Of course, we use whatever political language without really getting involved on policy matters, because they're just clumsy issues, really, because these are invited guests. They're all there. We want to congratulate them. They wouldn't want us to start throwing stones, generally. I don't think that's what we want to do, because we have more time in the motions in their house, question to minister, debate in terms of this one. The department is coming in, the state is coming. Then we can really have a hard discussion on that. I think that's how we thought that we should raise this matter and handle it that way, and then ensure that, of course, we prepare ourselves as a committee extremely well in welcoming them and then thanking them for their performance. I think they performed very well, and they performed very well. I never understood that a person without hands can run so fast. I never understood that people who can't see, the blind people, can run so fast. In fact, they run more than their mind does. It's a very strange situation. It simply means that their willpower is there. Then we are congratulating that, really, their South Africanness, and then their tenacity, their courage, all that that we are encouraging. This is what we want to do. And the statement brought in our country that all of us, we can do better. Not the ANC slogan, but we can do better if we, and also DA has taken that slogan now. We can do better if we work together. And then I think we should do that. I think it's very important for us that we do that. No. You would debate, Mr. Lee. And then, no, do better anyway. I see your posters everywhere. I see
your posters everywhere. We can create jobs if we work together. I think that is your poster now.
Rabutabu is saying that we support the workers in Marikane, they must be given more salaries,
yeah.
what. I thought it was a good statement.
Good. And I thought that you were not going to get here this morning, but I think I'm very impressed.
He's taking over from the Shadow Minister of Labor.
The Shadow Minister of Labor. But at the point that you are raising, Colin, that we should do that in the city. And then we are very happy about that. We should be congratulating South Africans. Whatever way that we do, it's not a political issue really between us. I think that's what we do. And then of course the posters are those. They're very nice ones. Three women there in the post. And I'm not sure if the campaign is going to have one. In the congress can't see for many years. I hear that the boot. Hey, I'm telling you, people are for the point. Food will take us through now. The great food will take us through some of the issues that are meeting. And I can.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Tomorrow, Chair, we are having books in South Africa only, and not SAIDS has apologized because they have a commitment in Africa. Yeah. So the person who will be coming is a board member, Mr. Tananiko from here. The CFO, I was informed by the chairman, Mr. Monde Balfour, yesterday, that the CEO was involved in a car accident. Yeah. So he can't be here. But there would be a representative. During my telephonic discussion with the chairman, I could not tell whether he himself would be there. Perhaps the chairperson can verify, because the chairman is a very difficult stakeholder for myself personally, speaking with him over the phone. So I could not tell whether he would be there or not. But he informed me that boxing representatives would be there. On the 17th, the following week, Chair, we will be having our department.
Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday. Yes, we'll be having the department.
Next Wednesday, Chair.
Next Wednesday. Chairperson, I'm not sure you wanted me to take the members through the entire program or just for tomorrow and the following. And Chairperson, just to mention, the three documents that have been tabled by the department, the annual report, which we have distributed together with the committee assistant. It's the annual report of the department has already been distributed. The books in South Africa, although it's in copy form, they have apologized. They said they were trying to meet the deadline. Hopefully tomorrow they'll come in a book format. SAIDS, which I've distributed way before even the tabling itself. So all the documents are there. They've been submitted on time. And then on the 23rd of October, it will be SASCOC. SASCOC has already confirmed that they would be here to give the committee a report on the performance of the Team SA in the London Olympics, as well as their roadmap to Rio 2016, the preparation.
It's a very important meeting on the 21st of October. They targeted while they can. Okay.
And then we'll have, on the 30th of October, we'll have the Box Smart with SARU, South African Rugby Union. They've also confirmed that they will be coming. The box mat would be a briefing on the injuries and perhaps the insurance that are injuries sustained by rugby players from juniors to the senior team. This program has not been updated. The one that must be brought on the 6th of November, it should not be this one. Because I know the program by heart.
Okay, now. We are good. And then they take them, I like them. Locate the venues on time, inform the numbers on the time. We usually meet at 10. But it was difficult to have 10 on the whole thing that we had for the meeting. So the person also needed to meet at 9. I think the problem is that as members of the team, two committees, they found it very difficult to meet. If we start at 9, all of us, I think the bigger problem is that. But we understood what they were trying to do. I think the time would be communicated accordingly. They
Chairperson, I wanted maybe to go back to the congratulatory statement on the 16th. So, Ilona, our previous experience, Chairperson, needed us to look at it, Sibona with the country improving. And I thought maybe we would be taken through how are we going to assemble to wait for them to come. Why would Jaglish was a victim as soon as to go to what we were doing? So to me, I am thinking that it's important that, especially in this Paralympics, as soon as we go to Jaglish like we were doing at that time. I think we needed some kind of, although there is an excitement, but ordered excitement. We needed to be taken through. Even participation that the standing committee that is doing that. We must know how do we get them in, how when, and to me, we were too excited. Thank you.
Well, I think colleagues will be always disfavored on what is happening. They don't get the point, those who are condemning for it, that would be a good idea for members of the court committee. Sometimes the staff couldn't arrange it correctly, and they have people flooding there, and then this makes it very difficult to manage. Of course, these are Paralympians, many of them will be helping with disabilities, therefore they must be in a space. I think they are waiting on it, but of course, I think the communication for the members of Paralympics will ensure that they are at least about the communication. Okay, colleagues, I think it's very
difficult.
Thank you.